Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Jamie Floyd in for Brian Lehrer. We've been talking a lot this morning about fiscal crisis in America, so it's perhaps sadly ironic that today we learned of the passing of Hugh Carey, the governor who helped rescue New York from the brink of financial collapse. Former Governor Carey died yesterday at his summer home on Shelter Island. He was 92. From 1975 through 1982, as the state's 51st governor, Hugh Carey, together with a small band of public servants, defeated the fiscal crisis that threatened the city and state of New York, a crisis most consider the worst any governor had faced since the Great Depression. When I learned of Governor Carey's death late last night, I could think of few better journalists to help us remember him than the man who joins me now, Wayne Barrett. Of course, our listeners know Wayne Barrett from his many years as a dogged New York reporter for the Village Voice. He is now reinventing himself as a Newsweek, Daily Beast contributor, and fellow at the Nation Institute. Wayne, thank you very much for agreeing to come in. And you will help us, I'm sure, remember Hugh Carey as a governor, but I'd also like to spend a few minutes remembering him as a man, as a New Yorker, as a person. But I think the best place would be to start with his politics. He was a liberal and a Democrat. I think we can be proud to say that, right? He followed Nelson Rockefeller into office.
Yeah, he was the first Democrat in the New York delegation to the House to oppose the Vietnamese War. So, yes, he was a liberal Democrat in that sense. He was also a machine Democrat, though. Mm. He was very much a part of the Brooklyn Democratic Organization, very tied to the money machine in Brooklyn politics when he was elected governor. But, you know, as you said, the singular achievement, and it is certainly the greatest achievement of any governor in my lifetime, was helping to rescue the city, leading the fight to rescue the city in the mid-70s when we were on the verge of bankruptcy. And the irony is, I have sitting here right on my desk the Encyclopedia for the City of New York. You know, it's about 1,500, 2,000 pages, and there's no entry for Hugh Carey.
Wow.
In this encyclopedia written, you know, put together by Kenneth Jackson and Columbia. And that's how he was such a strange personality in many, many respects, such a strange governor in many, many respects, that this singular achievement, there might not be a New York City, at least in the way in which we understand it, but not for you, Carey, because we were literally on the verge of falling apart, and who knows what the result of that would have been. And yet, he is obscure in some respects. Mm. To not even be an entry in the encyclopedia is shocking.
Well, that raises two questions. The first question is, how did he do it? How did he turn the state around? How did he save the city?
Well, it was a different time in terms of the labor leaders of the city. He had an enormously good, rich relationship with Al Shanker, Victor Gottbaum, and other Barry Feinstein, the primary public employee labor leaders in the city and state of New York. And he was able to bring them to the table and have dramatic renegotiations of the city's relationships with its labor partners. He was able to lean heavily on Felix Rowatin, who was a genius in terms of how to handle financial debt. And they came up with the creation of the Municipal Assistance Corporation, which issued bonds that have been paid off pretty much by and large now. We actually probably still have some MAC bonds that the city owes some money on and the state owes some money on. But those MAC bonds were able to float in the market in a way in which city bonds could not float any longer. And so we were able, the state was able to create an institution that could borrow the money that would allow the city to continue. And then he created the Emergency Financial Control Board, and the Financial Control Board, to a degree, still exists to this day as well. No longer called the Emergency Financial Control Board, but this control board literally took over the budgeting process for the city of New York. No one could trust the city of New York to balance its own books So this control board had the power to make all the key governmental decisions, and the banks could rely on the control board to force the city to get its own finances under control, and then that created the market for the MAC bonds. And the combination of the two, which was really in many ways the genius of Felix Rohat more than it was the genius of Hugh Carey to create those instruments, but it was the genius of Hugh Carey, blessed by crisis in that way, to be able to force everyone to the table and to agree to that. And the unions came up with an enormous amount of money from their own pension funds that helped the city. And so it was a time when everyone got around the table, unlike what's happening in the country right now, when we're in a similar kind of fiscal crisis, when everyone got around the table. Of course, they were all part of the same party. There were no real Republican players in this, other than the Senate Republicans. The Senate Republicans did support the governor in a lot of this, but of course there wasn't a lot of direct state expenditures. They did take over the City University. They took some big costs off the back of the City of New York, and the Republicans did go along with that. So I have to amend what I said. The Senate Republicans were able and willing to come to the rescue of the city, but by and large, the parties were Democratic parties at the table.
But you are correct. It is unlike what is happening in Washington, the inability to come to the table and truly negotiate for the larger good. As you say, though, Wayne, an enigma of a man, no entry there in your encyclopedia, which I find amazing, and that brings me to my second question. Why not? Why no entry there? And say a little bit more about Hugh Carey, the man.
It's such an anomaly that Andrew Cuomo is issuing the statements yesterday and today about the greatness of Hugh Carey, because we have really repeated history to a certain degree here. David Paterson kind of followed the Hugh Carey pattern of total deterioration, aided and abetted a little bit by Cuomo. Mario Cuomo was Hugh Carey's lieutenant governor, and Mario Cuomo had made it pretty clear he was going to run for governor in 1982, even if it meant taking on Hugh Carey, who was then the incumbent governor. And aided by Jimmy Breslin, who wrote endless stories about Society Carey. He dubbed him Society Carey, and Jimmy was then the primary columnist in the city, the New York Daily News superstar. And Carey, he just died at his Shelter Island home, but the Shelter Island home, for example, became endless fodder for Jimmy Breslin columns. And Hugh Carey's wife had died, the mother of his 12 children, and he was in open public search for a new bride. And that created all kinds of problems for him. He dyed his hair red. Mm-hmm. He behaved in this crazy kind of fashion. The Shelter Island home, for example, he wanted to expand it, so he used the state powers to condemn the home of a dentist living next door to him. And so this was treated as just a total abuse of state power. He had to retreat from it. And so there was just, as we move towards the 1982 election, so much similar to what happened to David Paterson, he was crushed by Cuomo-aided newspaper stories, media stories that just turned him into a joke. And, you know, he had been this great success, but what he is remembered for in many respects from the people who are involved in politics is that he was literally driven from office by a sort of frivolous scandal and not really serious gubernatorial misuse of money or anything. He was never accused of anything like that, but he was literally driven from office. And it's so ironic that his press secretary at the time was Jim Vlasto, and Josh Vlasto is now Andrew's, the son of Jim is now Andrew's press secretary. You could just see the images here. Now, Andrew was certainly part and parcel in 1982 already of his father's campaign. He was the campaign manager to a certain degree in 1982. So he was around to see how Hugh Carey was driven from office. by his own foibles, which were seized upon by the Cuomo machine, and just as Andrew did with David Paterson in 2010 and in 2009 and 2010, leading to his election. And so it's sort of history repeating itself.
And the Cuomo statement, of course, recognizing Kerry's significance in the fiscal crisis, quote, Governor Kerry led our state during a time of great financial turmoil and pulled us back from the brink of bankruptcy and economic ruin. And as you say, Wayne, he put together that board, and that is the photograph that the New York Times chose to run today, that very unique decision to put that board together that worked to bring the city and state from the brink of bankruptcy and economic ruin. So that statement correct, but interesting, all of the context you give us, Wayne Barrett. And we just did a segment, Wayne, on the unique behaviors and perhaps even mental states of politicians. A professor here arguing that political creatures are very different from the rest of us, and I guess Hugh Carey would be no different from any other powerful political person. And in their personal lives, they can make some bad decisions, but the legacy can be very, very different from what is talked about in the tabloids at the time. And it seems that Hugh Carey's legacy will be about that economic success.
That's certainly what his great achievement was. He was an extremely funny guy. The last time I saw him was out here in Brooklyn. I live in Windsor Terrace, and there's a famous bar out here that you may have heard of called Farrell's.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, you know, it's a firefighter-owned bar. It's right up on the street from my house, and right next to it is Holy Name Church, just a block or two away. And Kerry came out here as a stand-in for George Pataki to bury a firefighter who died on 9/11, and he was standing in the middle of the road. Everybody was waiting for Giuliani to arrive, mm-hmm. and I went up to the governor and said hello. I hadn't seen him in years, and he said, "This is the only church," pointing at Holy Name, "that is an annex to a bar."
Well, that's a great way to end.
He is a very, very funny guy.
Well, I knew, Wayne, that you were the man to call to help us remember Hugh Carey. I thank you so much for taking the time.
Thanks for asking.
And that, of course, is Wayne Barrett. He is a contributor to Newsweek, Daily Beast, and a fellow at the Nation Institute. And I'm Jamie Floyd. I've been in for Brian Lehrer today. I'll be back again tomorrow. Don't forget, WMYC will air NPR special coverage at 2 p.m. today on AM 820 and FM 93.9 of all news related to S&P's downgrading. And President Obama is now scheduled to speak at 1 p.m. this afternoon.